Shaking hands with all my friends. You know I'm a fool.
Hi there, welcome to our Soul Food Broadcast, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Princeton, West Virginia.
Saying thank you to John and Bill for the opportunity for me to come and speak this morning. Those of you who don't know, this is a big deal for me and Leanne. It's been a long time coming. Just the opportunity to speak is amazing. So I hope everybody's gentle with me. I'm gonna try not to get this thing stuck in my beard this morning. But we usually lead home group during home group season, and it's a little different on Sunday morning. So, but we're going to go through this morning and hopefully gain some understanding and go through here. We've been going through the book of John in home group, and I decided to take a break. I think we're in chapter 8 on home groups, and we've been in that for almost 2 years now. So, yeah, we're going to take a break and we're going to go to the book of Psalms this morning, chapter 1. And it's really short. There's only 6 verses. I'm going to get used to this headset too. But just 6 verses, and we're going to go through it this morning and just pray that God leads us and directs us. Let's pray again before we get started. God, we thank you for life, and we thank you for opportunity to share your gospel. And I just ask that you would take these words that you've given me this morning and just plant them in everyone's heart, and let us leave here challenged and changed. And we just thank you. We thank you for all of your goodness. Even when we don't understand what you're doing, we just thank you that you're in charge. In your name we pray. Amen. We'll start at verse 1 of book 1, chapter 1 of Psalms. I'll give everybody just a moment to get there. Good to see everybody this morning. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Counsel of the wicked, path of the sinners, seed of the scoffers. That's a lot to take in. It kind of shows us who we need to hang around or not be around, or better yet, who we don't need to keep close friendship with. Let's take the first part here. Do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or as some translations say, the ungodly. We don't want to hang around or mingle, and not spend too much time in the counsel of the wicked. And if you're hanging around or mingling with them, you're going to become like them. You're going to pick up bad habits. You're going to fall into that slumber of just being there. And it's one thing, we've got to live in the same community or the same building or the same town. We have to go to work every day. We have to be in this world. We have to be a part of what's going on. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." So we have to be careful. We have to be around people. We can't shun our friends just because we come to Christ. We have to surround ourselves with good people. Fellowship of the body. encouragement, good wisdom, good counsel, like-minded people like we have here. We like to be around each other, be in fellowship. We have to be salt and we have to be light. There's a difference between being about the Father's business and just walking around partying it up with the lost all the time. There are repercussions of having big fun with wretched people. And whatever reason, I don't know why, when I first I wrote that down and I thought about it, I knew I'd heard it somewhere before, and it's on the Cosby Show. The daughter went out and she was going to see this band called The Wretched, and she was having big fun with her friends, and it got her in trouble. And it just kind of can't be around that stuff. We've got to be Cosby Show, shed some light on some things. Wish you would have maybe went different for him. But anyway, we need not stand in the path of sinners. We got to get out of the way. If you stand in the path of destruction, you're going to get destroyed. We've seen what happens if you ever watch like animals on like Animal Planet or whatever. They kind of get out of their familiar element and they're unfamiliar with things. They're one minute they're around the highways, just edging around, or they're eating clover in a field. And the next minute, boom, they're hit with a car flat. So spiritually speaking, that's what happens to us. We lose focus. We let our guard down. I'm just going to stay here and party a few more minutes with my friends. I know I really shouldn't be here, but maybe they're a really good person. Maybe I need to be in this relationship or not. Maybe I can lead them to Christ. Maybe he can use me to bring them to the foot of the cross. Yeah, right. That's not going to happen. 9 times out of 10, and I've seen it. We used to work in youth groups, around youth groups, and you'd see this kid who was just sold out to God and on fire for God. They got the wrong relationship. How many times do you think it really worked out to benefit that they led someone to the Lord? Sometimes it did work out, but 9 times out of 10, that kid was gone and they ended up in a bad place. So we've got to be careful. That path of destruction is really wide and it's very well paved, and we have to be careful. We have to stay on the narrow path. God can keep a better eye on us. He sees us anyway, but I mean, accountability. The gate's narrow one at a time usually. So, and that's what it says in Matthew 7:14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are a few who find it. So we've got to be vigilant. God gave us common sense for a reason, and once we become a believer in Christ, we have to be careful where we're at. Like I said, we've got to be around the lost, and we have to be in, when we go to work every day, and it's not necessarily the most godly place to be sometimes, but we have to be a light and we have to be an example, but we've got to be careful. It goes further to say, do not sit in the seat of the scornful. What on earth does that mean? Like we mentioned before, we have to live and work and just be out in the world. It doesn't mean we have to be a part of it, though. Our witness should be so great that we should be that peculiar people that 1 Peter 2:9 speaks about. And I'm not talking about being peculiar as in being the kid in class that's talking to his hand like it's a sock puppet. I'm talking about being peculiar that they see your witness lived out every day. God expects us to be different. They should know who we are by our walk. They should know who we are by how we have a conversation. We should be so ingrained with God that we are different and they actually see it. Not just being this overzealous, arrogant person, because they're not going to want to be around and be a part of that either. But, you know, they're going to notice when things are different. When you're in the office and it's dirty joke time around the water cooler with Marty, the company pervert, and you walk away, people are going to notice that. They're going to notice, hey, that guy, every time somebody starts to say something off color, this guy walks away. And, you know, when the sales team makes this big sale or the company makes that big merger and all these sales guys are going out to get hammered to celebrate what a great time they've had because they're They've done something wonderful. And you decline, they're going to ask you why. And that is an opportunity to share the gospel. They're not most likely going to fall down on their face and repent at the copier, but it could happen. But it's going to cause seeds to be planted, and they're going to say, this person's different, and why are they different? And it's going to engage conversation that we have to be ready to have and be ready to share your faith. And the more time you spend with God, that's when you're going to gain this wisdom to share with them. Most times the conversation takes an opposite turn sometimes, but don't let that distract you. When you're standing there at the quick cafe burritos or anything, and somebody's, you don't want to beat them over the head with the Bible. That's the point. You don't want to be annoying with it. But you have, somebody comes up and says, hey, I'm going to go get some water. Would you like some? It's not the time to look at them and say, you know who else liked water? The Israelites liked it. And Moses struck a rock. That's not everything. You don't have to just beat people over the head with it, but you have to live it. It becomes a part of your life. The more you become close to God and the time you take when you pray and you read and you study and you share with others, you become more comfortable in your walk. And God sees that. And God knows that you really care about people, and He's going to put people in your path. And if you tell Him you don't want people brought in your path, He's going to send them anyway. And it's a growing experience. But we have to continue to mirror Christ with our actions, to live our faith. And I know that's kind of cliche, and you see it on t-shirts and things sometimes, but you have to live your faith loudly. You have to live it every day. That'll speak volumes, even more than the amount of scripture you can quote or more than anything. God doesn't expect you to memorize every chapter and every verse of the Word. There are things that are going to jump out at you, and you're going to become familiar with them. You're going to find your life verse or something that you can share with people that's going to kind of encourage them. But you know, to have just a basic understanding of the Word of God and to be able to share it with people, that's what's important. And God will take those opportunities, and He will bless them. There's a time and a place for being able to have an in-depth conversation with people. And it's, if you're a young believer, God's not going to allow you to be cornered, so to speak. I mean, He may allow you to be in a situation where people are just, it feels like you're being just shoved in a corner, and they're just bombarding you with all these questions, and they want answers now. And God will use that to grow you. Because if you're a true believer and you really love God and you really care about people, you're going to take that opportunity that God has put you in, and you're going to use that to pray more, to study more, to apply more of the Word to your life. And you know, you're going to be ridiculed nine times out. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be scoffed at as Noah was. But you know, but seed has been planted in these people's lives. God doesn't work in a way like that where He's going to allow you, Him to be made a fool of. God's going to use every opportunity for Him to be glorified. God's word is like a seed that falls on the ground, and we see that it's taught that several times throughout Scripture. It falls either where it's picked up by birds or it's choked out among thorns. It doesn't take root. It falls on barren and dry soil. Or it falls on fertile ground. No matter what happens, God will use it. And hopefully it takes root and it flourishes in their life. And the seed will fall, and it'll grow into a fruit that people will eventually want to taste. And that's, when you think about that, that's the way God does it. If our life is producing fruit, people are going to want it. People are going to, if we're doing it the right way, if we're doing it the way Scripture expects it to be done, people are going to want that. They're going to see it. They're going to know. We have to be different than what they're already filling their life with junk most of the time. We have to give them something good. Verse 2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law meditates day and night. And He meditates on the law day and night. Delight in the law of the Lord and meditate day and night. And that's a beautiful idea. To delight, to be overjoyed, more than pleased with dare I say, discipline or being structured by God. That's a hard thing to let yourself be. Everything that you've worked so hard to build, this personality or this, it's really a misconception of ourself, and let God chasten you and chastise you and just rebuild, tear you down and build you back up into what He wants. To delight in God's correction. And that's something that we should really, it's difficult when people correct you. It's difficult when people, they do it in a way that's unloving and uncaring. But God's correction, though it may seem harsh, is for a purpose. And when God corrects you or God uses His word or His law, it's a part of our life. When we accept Christ, we're lifted from doing all this stuff to make Him notice us. It's His love and His grace and mercy, and we abide in that. So we have to study, to meditate on, study, think about it, chew on it. That's what that means, to meditate. You read a portion of Scripture, and you dwell on that, and you think about it. You take as much as you can and all that God has given you out of that one thing. You meditate on it day and night until it becomes a part of your life. And that's what we give to others. Can you imagine getting so much out of what you read that it a spiritual thing, an emotional relationship with God, and it becomes, it's kind of, when you think about it, it's heavy to get that, and it affects you so much that it starts to make a change physically in your life around you, to where you're so in love with God and you're so in love with what He's doing that it affects you and others around you. And that's the kind of relationship God wants us to have. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a long walk and it's a building process. Every day is a new day, a day to live in His grace and live under His mercy and His love. Feel His love just wrap around us. And every day is a new day to start fresh and new and to grow with God. You know, we live in this filth all the time. Some of us live in a broken place. Some of us live in a place that's not pleasant to go to. It's not joyful. We work with pagans. I mean, really vile, awful people, most of us. I hope nobody works in the church. But we work with lost people. We work with lost people who are just, they're broken. They have no hope whatsoever. Just these crude, nasty, just to be blunt, trashy people. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Some of you go there every day. But it's still not, you know, we have to know, they have to know that we have this joy and happiness, that we can delight in the Lord. And that's what makes a change. And like we talked about earlier, we have to live the gospel. We have to live the word. We have to live in this faith so that they see it and they want to change. We have to delight in the Lord and His word and what it has to offer. And that's what gets us through the day. Let's go to verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Does that mean you won't get sick? Is that what that means? Does it mean that your bank account will always have plenty of money and your checkbook will always balance? You won't ever lose that opportunity to get a promotion. Somebody will just walk up to you and hand you these crisp new $100 bills or steak and lobster every night for dinner if you're into that. Is that what that means? No, absolutely not. You know, I gave my heart to the Lord in 1996. And I took baby steps for years. Years. And it's a growing process. And I've been trying to walk faithfully. I wasn't always taking it as seriously as I should have. I wasn't always doing everything the right way. Since 2005, that's changed, and God's really done some amazing things. And since then, I've had pneumonia. I've hurt myself several times. Sickness, being unhealthy. I had the bank call me and Leanne once and tell us that they didn't want us as customers anymore to come and get our $8 and they're shutting it down, you know. And so the bank account doesn't always balance. I put in for a promotion once when I worked at a place, and it was right after we had gotten married, and Leanne found out we were going to have Elijah. I was excited about it. It was more hours. Working as many, they wanted to keep me as a steady part-time employee. So they worked me up to a certain point, and then that was it. But it's going to be a better job, better opportunity. So I put in for this promotion, and everything was great. That was on a Thursday or Friday. Went the next week and walked in Monday, and they'd taken me off the schedule. And I thought, huh, that doesn't seem right. So I thought I was doing well. That was a fail, wasn't it? But so things don't always happen the way they should. I've had people walk up to me. Rarely it's been a $100 bill, and more times out of none, it's never even been a 20. But I've had people bless us, just walk up and just hand me a $5 or $10 bill, you know. So, but I don't go to my, we don't check the mail, and there's just a stack of checks in there or cash. Wells Fargo doesn't back up to the garage and just shovel money out to us. So that's not, so we're not always financially blessed. My point is, those things don't make you prosperous. You got to take this and listen to what God's trying to tell us. We are faithful to Him, and He's more than faithful in return. I would rather limp home every day, sneezing and coughing with that $5 bill in my pocket that someone gave me, from a job that I just lost, to eat a can of sardine soybeans oil, and know that Jesus Christ is in my heart and has blessed my soul, than to have what some of these con men in suits are telling us means prosperity. Because it's wrong. You know, that's not prosperity. And you know, I guess we can relate to more what we went over in verse 1 about walking in the counsel of the wicked. Those people can, if that's their definition of prosperity. But you know, we're called to love and to share. And this may be Calvary Chapel down the street, maybe Emmanuel Baptist, and these other names over all these doors all over Princeton this morning. We're divided on a couple of hours on Sunday mornings. But if they're teaching the Word of God, we're the same body. And the enemy hates us all the same. And if we're making hell tremble to the point that they want us dead or mistreated or miserable or lack of being prosperous, yeah, we're doing all right, aren't we? Verse 4 and 5. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. And therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. He calls us to be vibrant and lush and healthy spirited, that whatever we do, it prospers, and it prospers to the cause of the cross. The wicked aren't that lucky. You know, they're not vibrant. They aren't lush. They're not full of life. They're like chaff. They're rough, stringy, dry, husky. There's not really a lot you can do with it. You know, I watched a documentary about chaff dumps. And yes, okay, when you see those kinds of documentaries, when you're scrolling through Netflix or going through YouTube and you think or you question, you ask yourself, what kind of really sorry, dull sap would sit and watch? Let me put a face to what your question is. I'm that guy. But you know, after the harvest, there's these huge piles of chaff, tons. And this is what I got out of this documentary. This is not in Psalms, but it's left there in the fields, and it's kind of just laying there, and they use a tractor or people use these big rakes, and they just put it in these big piles, just tons, lines up, lines and lines of this stuff. And guess what happens to it? They burn it. It's burned. That may not seem important. You may not care. The point is it's burned. They can't do anything with it. I mean, you can't use it for anything. So they burn it, and they allow the wind to just blow the ash. It just sits there, and after the fire burns down, burns it all away, there's nothing left. Fire goes away. It's still left there. It's left there as ashes. And the wind just blows it away. It may stand tall with the harvest. At one point it does. It doesn't get to be gathered with the grain. It's assembled in rows and piles, and it's destroyed. It served its own purpose, and it's destroyed in the end. You know, the way of the Lord, you know, He leads us to it. And we meditate on His word. And that's verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. They're like that chaff. They've served their own purpose. They may have stood tall and been financially prosperous, never gotten sick. They didn't have that golden opportunity to eat sardines and soybean oil. But God sees us where we are. And if we meditate on His word, and we dwell in Him, and we delight in Him, we walk with Him, then we are prosperous, aren't we? We have a gift and a treasure that nobody can ever take away, and that's our relationship with Christ. And if we follow His way on His terms, or whether we decide to be like that chaff, and we're wicked and we serve ourselves, and we're roughed and hardened by the world, in the end, we're separated. Some of us are going to be collected. Some of us are going to be taken and used. Unfortunately, some people are going to be like that. They're just going to be left lying there. And God's judgment's going to fall, and they're going to be burned up. They're going to be blown away in the wind. So this morning, I guess the point is we want to delight in the Lord. Let Him strengthen us. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't be the guy Marty we talked about telling dirty jokes at the water cooler. But be salt and be light. Be something that God can use. You know, the field is white with harvest. We're living in really interesting, scary times. This world is falling apart all around us. Nothing makes sense anymore. But we have the truth, guys. We have the Word of God. And if we meditate on His word, we get to know Him. We get to have this relationship with Him. And it's not just you talking to yourself. You're talking to the Creator of everything in this world. And He wants to have that relationship with you. So the field is white with harvest. Get to know Him. Grow in Him. Become lush. Be productive. Be fruitful. And serve God with all that you have. And God, I thank You this morning for this opportunity to share. God, don't let us be like that chaff, God. Don't let us just lay there used up by the world to serve one purpose and one purpose only. But allow us, God, to be used of You. That we become so ingrained with You that we want to share what we have with others with this zeal from when we first believed. God, keep us fresh. Keep us lush. Let our roots be well established in You. And let us produce fruit that others want. And God, I ask that You would just be with our church and our family. Now, we're getting ready to see some big things happen here. The church body as a whole. And I ask that You would help us and prepare us to be ready. And I thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen.